Good afternoon. This is Leatherneck Magazine's Andrew Lubin. Today we're talking with Lance Corporal Jeffrey Cole, who just been awarded the Silver Star for actions in Marja. Lance Corporal, thanks for talking with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, tell us what you were with 2-9 back then. When did you arrive in Afghanistan, and what was the unit tasked to do?
I arrived in Marja July 26th of 2010. The main mission of 2-9 during that was to clear out the Taliban, secure Marja, and start winning hearts and minds more so.
Well, Marja was a pretty big area. We had the Gov Center in the center of Marja. We had Sistani on the one side and Crazy Sadie on the other. Where were you based out of?
I honestly wasn't there long enough to really be able to tell you. All I know is I was in northern Marja.
Okay. Well, this Crazy Sadie area, what base were you, or what cop or what FOB were you out of?
I was in Cop Moose.
Well, what was the role down at Cop Moose? What was the atmosphere like? How were the relations with the locals, and what kind of reaction did you have from the Taliban on a daily basis?
No, the locals were fine. Nobody trusted them, of course, but they were, they're so friendly and everything. Cop Moose was just set up from 3-6. They set it up, went there, stayed there, and it was just our little patrol base.
Okay. Up at Cop Moose and up in the northern part, that was a farming area, correct?
Yes, it was. It was farming, but also had a bazaar right there next to us. So because of the bazaar, there was also a little bit of extra stuff. Shops, of course, and some motorcycle repairs and stuff.
Okay. But in the farming areas, you're really talking corn back then, end of July, you're probably talking shoulder high or so, or at least well over waist high, irrigation ditches and all the furrows. Would that be a good way to describe the area?
It was. Corn was a lot higher, though, and they also had okra and various plants and vegetables.
So you're going out of Cop Moose on that day. Tell us what happened. Take us through the day.
From the day, I woke up about four in the morning. I went up on post for about 4 hours. Got off post, went and put my stuff up. I started making chow. There was a patrol that was coming in. It was our other squad, sister squad. Came in. I made food for everybody. That way everybody can eat something. So everybody ate. I ate. Went back, cleaned my rifle, and then my buddies was just talking to them, and it's like, yeah, we got a patrol coming later on today. It's a PMT patrol, PMT being professional mentor team, and they're the ones who train the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police. I talked to them, I was like, hey, is there an opening for the patrol? He goes, yeah, there is. And just go talk to the squad leader, or talk to my corporal, excuse me. So I went there, talked to him, I heard this patrol, PMT patrol going. Can I go on it? He looked at me and goes, you want to go on the patrol? I was like, I want to go on the patrol. He goes, all right, meet back here, 1:30, and then we'll do it. I was like, all right, roger that. Walked off, went back. I checked over my gear, made sure I have, plenty of ammo, made sure I had plenty of water, made sure I had, everything was just good to go, fresh batteries for my MVGs, everything. Then I went, met up. They gave us, the mission briefing, and then I stepped out.
What was the mission briefing? You're going out with the Afghan Army, the Afghan Police, or both?
Neither. We just the mission briefing was it was a reconnaissance patrol. We wanted to go to an area that we had patrolled to the night before, and just take pictures of the people, the terrain. Vegetation, just basic reconnaissance stuff. So did that, and then we stepped off on our patrol. We got there. roughly around 3:30. We were there, we got there roughly about 3. There from about, 30 minutes. Talked to the people, took the pictures they needed to take, set up and everything. Then we just proceeded out of the compound. It was about 3:30 at this time.
And things are friendly at this point? And are you getting the stink eye, or what are relations like at this point?
Well, it was really only a handful of people. We went to the village, but I wouldn't really even call it a village. Just like 3 compounds, and that was it. It wasn't really, there's people, of course, but not really anything major. And they didn't want us there because, like I said, we had done night patrol there the night before, and they're just like, oh, you guys are bothering us, or whatever. I don't even know what they said. And so we show back up the next day, so they're kind of, I guess they were mad, but they didn't do nothing. They're like, all right, they're here. We asked, they asked some questions, and then after that, just stepped out from the patrol. We're on our way back from that.
Okay, what happened then?
Then once we stepped out of the compound, and maybe a minute, 2 minutes tops. Half the squad was going through a ditch, and I was the last man on the patrol. There was 3 of us still on the road, and everybody else, they were just going down, and then it sounded like an explosion, and everybody got shot. I was the last man, like I said, and I watched everybody in front of me get shot. Everybody got shot at the exact same time. I myself was shot 3 times, the same time with everybody else.
This is just one or 2 automatic weapons from the Taliban, or this was a whole fuselage coming in from both sides?
This is about 20 Taliban that engaged us, and I got shot. We all got shot at point blank range. I took 3 rounds from an AK-47. 2 went between my front and my right sappy plate. Just hit my cummerbund of my plate carrier. For some reason, it stopped it. Shouldn't have. I should have died, but it stopped it. I took 1 of my back plate. I weighed 200 pounds at a time. That's because I had 80 pounds of gear on. I weighed 120 as my body weight. I lost a bunch of weight because it's really, really hot there and all the stuff I was doing. So I lost 30 pounds in about 3 weeks. But it picked me up off the ground, moved me 5 feet to the left, and slammed me onto the ground in under half of a second. And all of that was by the power of the bullets. Landed up against the wall. It took me a second to realize what was going on because I was looking at my buddies in front of me, and they're all wounded. And they had all been shot, of course. I looked down at my side. I got 2 smoking holes coming out of my side. I had just been shot, and I was like, then I realized, I'd been hit. And then I just got back up, and my buddies, they were starting to move down to the wadi, into the ditch. And my buddy was still having, he just had to crawl down there. I was mad because they shot me, so I just stood up, and I just started shooting my rifle at a tree line 100 yards away.
Were the other Marines returning fire also by this point?
Some of them were. The ones who weren't wounded, they were. Everybody else were trying, just consolidating in the ditch. So it took them a second, to really realize, hey, guys are wounded. They were shooting. I was shooting. And the Taliban, of course, were shooting at us. And then I shot 30 rounds off in like 5 seconds. I was just shooting, and reloaded, ran down to the ditch with everybody else. Got there, I was like, it was pretty serious because we had 3 radios and they weren't working because at that point we had 50% casualty rate for our squad. There's 10 of us on the patrol. At that moment in time, 5 Marines were wounded. So we needed, it was kind of like, all right, we need medevac as well as air support immediately. But we couldn't reach anybody on the radios. We could receive, we couldn't transmit for whatever reason. I'm not going to tell you all that, you know, that was sad. I'm not going to tell you all that was, you know, everybody's injuries and stuff. But
how far are you from Camp Moose at this point? You're probably under, you're a click and a half. You're not very far, are you?
No, we were like 2 miles away.
Okay.
So at this point, we're like 2 miles away, is what I was told. And we were just, you know, my buddy was, one of my buddies, the machine gunner, shot his leg, and, you know, has. I was shooting from the ditch. After I was shooting from the ditch, you know, still shooting at the guys with my rifle. Then I was like, hey, you know, somebody yelled, I was like, hey, you know, they're coming. They're right there. And at this point, they're like 30 meters away in front of us, 30 yards in front of us.
Can you see them, or are they hidden in one of the tree lines?
I'm sorry?
Can you see them, or are they hidden in one of the tree lines?
When I first got shot, I could see only muzzle flashes. And then from our ditch to 100 meters in front of us to the tree line is just an open field. So then they got within 30 meters of us in an open field. And I just I was like, hey, you know, they're right there, you know. So I looked at my buddy. I was like, hey, you know, you're wounded and I'm not. So I'm going to take the gun and you take my rifle. And the only reason I took it, like I said, was because he was wounded. So I was like, you know, I'm good, you're not, so I'll take it. You know, I got up on the side of the wadi and started shooting it. I put it in my shoulder. I started shooting like a rifle because I didn't care. I was just mad. So I shot, and then I stood up on the road, and I just shot it from my hip at all the Taliban when I was out there. I shot 150 rounds off. I was drawing, you know, the Taliban's fire. So I just had all these Taliban shooting at me. So I just saw, like, bullets and dirt. And I just kept shooting because once you commit to something like that, you're in it. You know, you committed to it. There's no going back from it. So I was just up there just shooting. I did a sweep from left to right. And then I came back. And then as I was going back again, I got shot 3 more times, this time by a PKM. At point-blank range, and I took one in my left side plate, and I took two bullets through my arm, and that's what wounded me, and that threw me in the ditch, and then I became the 6th casualty.
Okay. I guess Marines, by this point, they're all firing back also. You got a relatively good hasty defense range.
Say that again, sir.
You've got a relatively good hasty defense set up. The other Marines, you know, they've recovered, and they're firing back.
No, it wasn't necessarily. We didn't have any kind of real defense. We had one guy watching behind us, and then some other guys tending to the wounded. And then like a couple of us were shooting. And then, I got back down into the Y, and after I got hit, everybody was like, "All right, we really need to go right now. We need to get out of this ditch." And there was a lull. I don't know. It wasn't. I hate using the word lull, but I don't know other way to describe it because all the fire was so intense. It was like right next to us. It was like clipping, you know, it was like clipping like right by our ears and everything. Like there's so many bullets coming at us. We could see the bullets. Literally. They weren't tracers either. They were like big flies. They're going like 100 miles an hour. That's what they looked like. But we moved out of the compound, or we moved out of the ditch into a compound. And then we were still taking contact the entire time. We just had 6 wounded guys. And we still could not get air support. This is at this point when we move into the compound. We've been in the firefight for 45 minutes straight, and we're still waiting on air support.
How are you fixed for ammunition at this point?
I'm sorry.
How are you fixed for ammunition at this point?
Oh, we about ran out. We virtually like ran out of ammo. Everybody, 240s completely out of ammo. Saw had 15 rounds left on his belt total. Everybody's down to the last 2 magazines. Everybody had like 25 rounds left. That's it. We had 1, 2, or 3 rounds. That was really all we had left. And the enemy still was advancing on us. And we're still 30 meters away.
Now, do you have the radios fixed at this point? Are you still able to receive and not send?
We were still receiving and couldn't transmit. But somehow they got them to work for a few minutes. It wasn't until we got into the compound that the radio finally got fixed somehow. The guy who was working on it, I guess he fixed it or something. Called in air support. And Roy just waited for that and waited for a medevac because there really wasn't anything else we could do because the enemy was so advancing on us. The enemy was right there, and like we almost had to go to hand-to-hand combat because it was just one of them situations. I don't really remember too much for air support because I was phasing in at consciousness because I had a lot of blood loss. They put two tourniquets and a pressure dressing on me, and I was still bleeding out from that. I remember half of what I say is like is what I remember, and then the other half is stuff that I was told when my guys got back. Air support, I don't really remember air support. Everything prior to that I remember, and I remember medevac. What happened with the medevac was finally they got it, and waiting on air support. Air support came, medevac landed, and we got picked up by the British, the CH-46. British landed, and it was my buddy two of my buddies who got shot. We're assisting one of them. He was having trouble walking, and then me and then him, and then we're running to the helicopter. And as we run to the helicopter was getting shot and starting, sparking and smoking with all the bullets in it, and then they were still shooting at us. And British medics ran off the helicopter, were shooting into the tree line, trying to give us more suppressing fire so that we could get into the helicopter so we can get medevaced. Then we got on there, they got on there, and then I got medevaced from there.
So they took you to Bastion, I would assume?
Yes.
Okay. So how long were you at Bastion before they flew you back to the States?
That, I wouldn't be able to give you a time frame. I got there. They separated me from the other two guys. I don't know. I still don't know where they went. Laid me on a table. I was like, I asked the doctor, I was like, hey, doctor, can I get some water? He goes, no, you can't get any water. I was like, all right, like, can I go to sleep? And he goes, yeah, you can go to sleep. I said, okay. And as soon as I said okay, I laid my head back and just passed out from blood loss. I was told later I was in surgery for like 18 hours. About lost me in surgery. And then I woke up sometime later. I don't even know. And
so they medevaced you back to the States. What about the other wounded Marines? You had five of the wounded Marines. How did they come out?
Everybody lived.
Good. Okay.
Nobody died.
Good. Excellent. So you're back in Camp Lejeune now. You're in the Wounded Warrior Battalion, I understand, correct?
Yes, I am.
When do you anticipate being put back in active duty?
I'm sorry, sir?
When do you anticipate being taken out of that, being back on active duty?
I'm working on my med board right now, sir. Me going back to active duty, it's not going to happen. I'm still on active duty now, but I'm not going to be with the regular Fleet Marine Force. I'll probably be med boarded and medic with discharge, or medic retired, I guess within at least a year. Now I do know they have a program, and I'm not entirely decided on getting out yet. I might stay in, but I'm leaning more toward getting out at this moment. But I'll have to see how that goes.
You got a lot of time to decide. You got plenty of time to change your mind or not. So
yes, sir.
What was your reaction to your parents? So your parents get a call that you firefight, you're wounded, and you're on your way back. How did they handle that?
I'm not really sure. I can definitely say they were confused because nobody knew that, just how serious my injuries were or really what all happened. They just got a call and said, hey, he got wounded and he's on his way back. Scared, probably.
Okay.
I finally got back there, and then, they saw me, and then, they were proud of me because I didn't die.
You just received your Silver Star, 2 weeks ago, I guess, 10 days ago.
Yes, sir.
You were that severely wounded then. That's quite, then we're talking 2 years plus.
I'm sorry, sir.
I see you were pretty severely wounded then. That's 2 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you tell us a bit about the citation? Do you have it with you?
I do.
Could you read us a bit about it?
read you it?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on one second. How much of it do you want me to read?
Give us a summary of it.
On 17 August 2010, in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, while conducting a pattern patrol in the F4 sector of Marja, my Escobar Pulse Squad came under heavy and accurate machine gun and small arms fire from two enemy positions. The initial burst wounded four members of the squad. While another Marine was wounded, he could no longer operate the 240 Bravo medium machine gun. Without orders or regard for his own safety, Lance Corporal Cole took control of the machine gun and began suppressing the enemy positions with effective fire. Though shot in the left arm, despite heavy artillery bleeding, he continued engaging the enemy as a fellow Marine applied a tourniquet and pressure bandage to his arm. Despite his painful wound, he continued to provide suppressing fire until all the wounded squad mates were moved to a covered position. He was then struck by additional enemy fire, and his front small arms protective insert plate, but still continued to return accurate fire with his 240 Bravo. Only after confirming that all wounded personnel were safely behind cover, did he cease fire and join the remainder of his squad. So,
okay. Well, Corporal, what kicked in? Is it your training that kicked in? What made you do that? Did you ever have a chance to react or reflect on that?
Yes, sir. No, it wasn't my training. Nothing I did in training could have prepared me for that or any of that. I just know my job, and I knew that I couldn't give that kind of suppressive fire or traversing fire when I deployed the machine gun from the bipods. Therefore, I shot it from my hip because I had such a wide range to suppress, and that was the fastest way, the easiest way for me to do that and engage all the targets. But like I said, nothing I did in training ever prepared me for that. It was just kind of a split decision to where I just, that was the easiest, simplest way for me to do it. So I got up there and I did it.
And the premise of it was a good idea at the time. That's an incredible way to go through a tech, I must say.
I'm sorry, sir.
I said, with the concept of it was a good idea at the time is a different mindset that most people go when they're in the middle of a tech, I must say.
Yes, sir.
Well, Corporal, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Yes, sir. They awarded me this award. I received this award. I'm a recipient of this award, but this award is not my award by any means. They can read my citation. You know, they can say, that was awesome what he did. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I'm a badass, and I keep telling them, like, I'm not, because what I saw that day with what the Marines did was the most impressive thing I've ever seen in my life. And what that was I saw five wounded Marines be shot, a couple of them shot multiple times, get back up and continue to fight the Taliban without stopping, without ever flinching or anything, for an hour straight, running low on ammo, and the enemy still advancing within 30 meters. And therefore, I am not a hero. But all those Marines I was with, they are my heroes, because not only did they save my life, but we would all be dead if it wasn't for their actions, not mine alone. Nobody fights alone. So I wear the award for them and for the Marines that we lost who can't wear it.
Well, Corporal, very well said. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you very much.
This is Leatherback Magazine's Andrew Lubin speaks to the Lance Corporal Jeffrey Cole, recent recipient of the Silver Star. Yeah, Lance Corporal, thank you for what you did.
Thank you very much.